All right, good morning, everybody. Yeah, it's good to be back. Good morning on this very cold day. Yeah, the wind is strong. I think it was negative 11 with negative 30 or something wind chill. Yeah, so it's cold today, but we made it. I do want to keep Ray Seiler in prayer. Been thinking about him a lot. I know he's going through a lot right now. So we love him, keep him in prayer. And Pastor Kurtz, I've been listening to him, and we are blessed to have Pastor Kurtz, man. That's just so, there's so much that we got here in our church, and I'm just grateful for that, because I was just listening to him on the way here, and just so much insightful, so much things that I didn't think of, or in this, and it just builds up our faith, you know, so builds up our knowledge. And let's start in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. It's a little cold, but we made it. Thank you for the freezing temperatures and the hot weathers, and we can appreciate both. Thank you for our family and friends, church family. Pray for those that are ill and sick, and such as Ray, and be with him and through all his through his situation and through his methods of getting better. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this church. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We want to praise you, give you the honor and glory, and let the Holy Spirit be our teacher, and let your word, let the truth flourish in and out of us through your word, and let us take it out to others and show others the truth that we have and the peace that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're in Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So we have finished chapter 3 last time I was here, and chapter 3 had a few things how Paul was wanting to be with the Thessalonians. He was in Athens, and that he went through tribulations that we go through, how we suffer tribulation for the Lord, and that it's going to be, that it does happen. It's not if, or you know, if we're, it's going to happen or might, we will go through tribulations. That's how this life the Lord set up in his infinite wisdom, that we are to go through things and they make us stronger, right? He kind of went over their faith and charity, the faith and charity that they had, and we've seen that we have a personal relationship with God the Father and the Son. So that's, you see that there's two different individuals. Like, we know that God is three here, and that we have a personal relationship. He's showing the Thessalonians that we have one with the Father, and we have one with the Son. And and that at the end of that chapter, you see that it has a reference to the rapture, which Thessalonians, all chapters have a reference to the rapture, our blessed hope that we have. And and rightly dividing the word is what God wants us to do. Now, I know anybody listening over the internet, that rightly dividing is how God wants us to dissect the Bible and to separate the parts, separate from Israel and from the Gentiles, and that's how we're gonna actually enjoy and know what the Bible is teaching, because a lot of people read their Bible and they, like, they, oh, I read it, but I don't understand it, or there's contradictions, and if you rightly divide, all those come together, and you can actually read and study and enjoy what God has to offer for us, because, and it just opens up new avenues of learning. And so anybody listening out there, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, so let's get into our text, and we are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. So, furthermore, that he's adding on to what he's talking about, and chapter 4 is going to kind of go through a model walk. So, walk in Christ and our... and how we should walk, and we're going to go through that. But how Paul is mentioning to the Thessalonians. And remember, whenever you are reading a book, you want to see who's writing, who are they writing to, what's the context of what they're writing about. Get all of them things so you can understand the whole book in its entirety. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk, and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. So that beseech, anybody not knowing what beseech means, that basically means to beg. I beg you. It's an urgent beg or urgent request. I beg you to... and I exhort you to urge. Exhort means to urge, and beseech means to beg for anybody. And whenever you're going through the Bible, you want to have a dictionary. Sometimes you look up these words so you can, you know these words. And next time you see them, you're like, oh yeah, that means this. That means this. And it's all part of growing in God's Word. Because this is a Sunday school, so you know this is where we want to try and get the basics. And a lot of us know these things, but like I said, if anybody's listening, tuning in for the first time, that's what it is. And we come to church to fellowship and to maybe we missed something last time this was covered, and we're getting it now. So these are like grace message words. Paul uses these words a lot, beseech and exhort. Beseech is in the Old Testament. There's some, but God never beseeches. See, that's back in the Old Testament, God always commanded Israel, demanded of them to do what they were, and then ways threatened them. If you don't do this, then this is going to happen to you, you know? Today, God doesn't do that. He sees us as adult sons, and he is like, okay, hey, this is some advice that you should do this, you know. And Paul, we're going to get that in verse 2, but Paul had, we know that the law had 613 laws. Well, Paul, I think, had 300 plus commandments that he has commandments. There's 300, but they're not like commandments. They're called imperative, imperative sentences, where he's saying do this, do that, and it's not like, hey, do this or, you know, this will bad happen. He's giving us advice to how the, you know, that he got revelation through the Lord, and we're gonna see that. So, we see here that Paul praises the Thessalonians because they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were following the Lord and they were walking, you know, the way they ought to walk. But as you see there, and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. See, we're abound more and more to do more. You know, there's maybe sometimes some of us are like, hey, I did enough. You know, I don't think I need to grow no more. And that's not the mindset I feel or I know that we shouldn't have. We should always be trying to abound more and more in the Lord. And Paul's telling that to the Thessalonians. And so let's see here. I know I'm going to be going to a verse soon. But my notes are kind of everywhere today. So That you see that it says, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that ye have received of us. So that received of us, that obviously Paul, that they received it from Paul. Now, Paul, as we know, is our pattern. And this is going to be definitely review. A lot of us know these things, but we're going to go through these and just to review it. And I encourage you, anybody, let's go to 1 Corinthians 4:16. And I encourage you, if you haven't, if you try to memorize these verses or jot them down, because whenever you're in conversation with anybody, you can instantly be like, okay, let me show you this, let me do this, let me do this. Because we know that Paul's our epistle for today. But a lot of people don't. Or a lot of people don't feel that way. But we know that the truth is the truth. And that you can believe one way, any way you want, but if there's so much proof that, hey, Paul is our epistle for today, he's our epistle to the Gentiles, and there's plenty of proof. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Well, you see that in verse 15, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. So there's a lot of people teaching Christ. There was the law, you know, the 12 disciples. But he is the one that is teaching the gospel for today. And through the dispensation of grace. And go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, just a few pages, verse 1. And you see that people say, I said this before, and we always hear this, but you make too much of Paul, you make too much of Paul. Well, we're making too much of Paul, it's the Bible, God's Word tells us to do these things. Be followers of, chapter 11, verse 1, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So, that for the people that he's saying follow me, but I'm of Christ. So this has nothing to do with me, you're not worshiping me. I'm of Christ as well. And let's go to Romans chapter 11, verse 13. Probably should have went to that one first, but it's all right. I was maybe gonna go into Ephesians, but we'll see. Romans chapter 11, verse 13. We'll do verse 11. Chapter 11, verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles. And we know that salvation was through Israel. Throughout the Old Testament, salvation was through Israel. So now, there's always, whenever you're in Paul's epistles, you always see that difference. It's like, okay, well, Israel, Gentiles, the Gentiles are being in full view. So rather through the somebody's calling me. Yeah. And for rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak unto you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. So he is the apostle of the Gentiles. And you see that he is not the apostle of under law. You see that he's not the apostle with the 12. He's his own. He's his own in Christ. And let's see. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. And I'm not going to go to the, but we know that Paul is a pattern. And if you've seen in 1 Timothy chapter 1, 15 and 16, you see that Paul is our pattern for today. But we're going to go to Galatians chapter 1. We're just going to kind of cover some stuff that we know, but this is always good to just see it. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 11. We can do verse 10. Verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? See, are we here to persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Okay, that's good there. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Has no man taught this apostle? What did the 12 apostles? They were taught by Christ himself, but Christ's earthly ministry. But Paul was taught through in his heavenly ministry. Paul was taught in the ascent by the ascended Christ. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ, the ascended Christ. This is a whole different. This is for anybody that wants to, that first hearing this. This is something totally different than the Old Testament scriptures. This is totally different. This is something that God had kept a secret, and now this is what we have for us. And then if you go down to verse 17, neither went I to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia. See, this is kind of things that he's going an opposite way now. He's to Jerusalem, that's Israel. He's going to Arabia. He's going the opposite direction here. Let's go down to chapter 2, verse 2. In Galatians, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. And let's go to verse 7. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, so we know that uncircumcision is the Gentiles, and that it was not part of the law. The gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, that's Paul, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. So we know that Peter was the leader of the 12, and that those are two gospels that you're seeing there. Those are two different programs, two different gospels, that to the circumcision, Peter, and to Paul, the uncircumcision. Two different factions that he's laying out. There's this and there's this. And they everybody knew about the circumcision. Everybody was part of the circumcision. But we know that God had a secret, and that he's starting something new now at this time. And for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. See, it's a lot of this Gentile language. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, see, these are the disciples, perceived the grace, that language, the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. See, the apostles said, okay, this is legit. Here, this is legit. I'm giving you that right hand of fellowship. This is legit. There's nothing going bad. There's nothing bad about this. This isn't contrary to we believe God is doing this. Okay. That we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. You see that language where circumcision is separate, the heathen is separate, the heathen to the uncircumcision. Only they would that we would remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. So basically he went up face to face to Peter and said, You ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing. So this Peter, the leader of the 12, was confronted by Paul. Well, that shows you Paul's boldness, his assertiveness, you know, in Christ, that he had a position that Christ had given him directly, and that he had the nerve to go up to Peter and tell him, "Hey, you're not doing this." And we're going to see right now what that was. So, "For before that certain came from James, he did eat with Gentiles." Remember back in the, he wouldn't do that. There was nothing. They could not eat with the Gentiles. They could not. Everything was separate, set apart. And when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise. So, and he was saying, in verse 14, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews?" And we know that's what was going on, that Judaism was going to the Thessalonians, going to these churches and trying to get them back to the law. And you see, these are just, that was just a, it was like a falling away of the law and a falling away of what was going on, and that it was an introduction into grace and Paul being the apostle, and that those things were being, that Israel's being set aside, and that the Gentiles were now on the level playing field. Everything is level now. Before, you had to go to Israel. Today, it's you just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone is able to grab a Bible and believe and be saved and do what they need to do. It's that individual relationship with Christ, and that's the beauty of what we have today. Yeah, it is. That's what, before it was a whole different program, and that is proof there in Galatians, in Paul's epistles. And I don't see how others can't read that and see that difference. They want to argue the latter. But this is what we call the truth, you know? This is the truth. And so Judaizers accused Paul of dreaming this stuff up, that he was just making this stuff up. It's all right there. He wasn't making this stuff up. It's all right here. And I just kind of wanted to go through that. We know that, a lot of us know this. But when you see this in a different perspectives, other people saying this, it should build what you believe, your confidence up, because this is what it actually is. It's not nothing else. This is what it actually is. Paul is our epistle for today, and I wanted to go through that. He didn't learn it from Gamaliel, didn't learn it from John, from Peter, didn't learn it from none of them. He learned it from the ascended Lord, and they learned it before the cross. He learned it after the cross. And we get our basic Christian doctrines from Paul's epistles, and not the four gospels. If you ever notice, all the doctrines that we have are all in Paul's epistles. The four gospels, those are all part of the law, and we get all our basics from Paul's epistles. And we know, and when you're in Paul's epistles, you really know who the Lord is. So a lot of people are saying, "Oh, well, I go to the four gospels because Jesus is there." Well, yeah, you get to know Jesus in his earthly ministry, and you see his miracles and all those things, but you don't really know the Lord Jesus Christ until you get into Paul's epistles. You don't really see that his preeminence. You don't really see all those different aspects of him, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You don't see all those things that we have in him. And that's why Pastor Kurt is going to be getting into Romans, the doctrinal book. It's going to be exciting today. So, and I encourage that you read Romans too, if anybody listening, because that'll show you what's our what we stand on, what you know, what the foundation, what the fundamentals are in Romans. Okay. Moving on, good. Like I said, my notes are a little bit everywhere, so let me see. we can go, oh, you know what? So this walk, I'm still in this walk. Oh, we're probably going to be in here for a little bit. Romans, let's go to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, yep. Okay, verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. So back then, they were walking in the laws was a requirement. The 613 laws, they had to go through these laws. But today, let's go to Romans 6:14. Yeah. Romans 6:14. Yeah, Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Yeah, we're doing some jumping around today. And we know this one. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And you see, there's two contrary verses there. Those are two. So here in Exodus, he said, what everybody loves to be in, they love to be in the five... You know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They love being in Psalms. They love being in these Old Testament books. But you're seeing that, you know, even Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Christ was born under the law. He was a minister of the law. It was all under the law. So what is this? Why is this different? And you see, we know that the Bible was written in... had 40 plus authors, has different language, you know, written in a few languages, written in different continents, but also these books are written in different time periods, and between a span of, I think, 1500 years, and these books were written in different time periods, and some were not written in order, they weren't written in order, but the Bible has been put in order. And that's what the order is, and it goes, you know, Genesis through,
Deuteronomy.
Huh?
Deuteronomy.
No. Genesis through.
Revelation.
No. I can't even think of the word. No. It's Genesis to Acts. Genesis to Acts is. You know, Acts is a transitional book. It transitions, but Genesis to Acts is that past. Then the books are in order. Genesis through Acts are in that past. Then Romans through Philemon is the present. Romans through Philemon is the present. And then Hebrews through Revelation is the future. But when that future happens, Hebrews through Revelation is going to be their present. It's going to be, you know what I mean? So, but today our present is Romans through Philemon, and we know these things. But it's always good to know, because you know you can, once repetition, you can say it off the top of your head. You know, because that's what it is. That's what it is. Now I want to go to. Well, we know in Matthew 28 that they were to walk under the law. Matthew 23, you see that the Lord Himself was saying, "Hey," when the Lord Himself was saying that you have follow those that Moses and those who sit on His seat, and that's Matthew 23. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we'll see what Paul has to say. In verse 37. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37. And I think we're going to probably go to Matthew 23 after this. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, so, and remember that this is to think himself spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And I mean, that's as plain as day. These things that I write are the commandments of the Lord. Let him acknowledge that. Yep. And let's go to Matthew 23 and let's see. Let's just look at that. Matthew 23, verse 1. I mean, this can be a good verse to jot, good chapter and verse to jot down too, because you can go to this and be like, okay, what about this? Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So this is the Lord Jesus saying this. Yep. And so the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. This is Jesus saying this. The people that the people today want to follow the four gospels. This is what the four gospels is saying. This is Jesus in the four gospels that everybody wants to follow. This is what he's saying. All there, verse 3, so the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. So, but he's saying follow them. So if the Lord is saying follow them, how hard is it to believe when he's saying follow Paul? You know, that he's telling you, even when he's alive, to follow someone else. You know what I mean? So it shouldn't be that hard of a thing to conceive when the Lord can say, hey, follow Paul. So, and we know that Paul says, and you know, there's people that want to take Paul's epistles out of the Bible. You know, there's people that want it. They're that much that they don't believe in that Paul, that he's being made too much of. That's just a, there's, it's not like a large group of people, but there's people out there.
Somebody told me Paul was the great deceiver.
Yeah, and there's people, I've seen videos on YouTube where they're like, Paul is a lie, Paul is of the devil, Paul, all these crazy things. And that's, we understand and know that it's not true, because the Bible is uniquely and beautifully intertwined with itself. That's why I believe. That's one of the main reasons. Because the Bible is supernatural. This book is...
Yeah, it makes his own claims.
Yeah, it makes claims that are true. And it all connects and it interwovens. Like, Paul is always, in his epistles, there's always references to the Old Testaments, and it just is beautifully intertwined with each other, that there's no way that some regular people, man, just even the brightest of the people of this world can make something like this. There's no way, because it's so. That's another thing. Because remember, the Lord has put His word above all His name.
Amen.
So that means every time we always hear that, and we always think of that, we're like, okay, well, that's great. But reality, it's really great. It's like impossible, you know. He put so. Every knee is going to bow at the name of Jesus. Jesus is everyone's. Even the demons, when he comes around, they freak out. You know what I mean? So it's like, and demons have power. You know, they're the fallen angels. They're powerful beings. And, you know, the angels are powerful. So even when they freak out when the Lord comes around, just by his name, you know. And so when he puts his word above that, he's making a statement. He's saying, this right here is what you need to be getting into. And that's for everybody. That's for all of us. We all slack sometimes. We all do it. We're humans. We have our flesh. But that's why we have such a glorious God that that he forgives us. We're always forgiven, and we always can get back on the bandwagon and get back on. He's not chastising us like he did with Israel, and that's the beauty of being under grace. So I'll choose this above anything that the world has to offer, because first off, it's the truth. First off, the Bible. And you know what? I could sympathize a little bit for the people that don't understand it, you know, because they weren't taught it, or it's hard to understand if you're just reading, if you have a low level of reading or whatever. But they have, if you have an open mind or an open will, like you want to learn seriously, I think ready mind, and you'll be ready to see what the truth is. You'll pick up a commentary, or you'll go on a YouTube video, and you'll see, and you'll really look and compare and contrast, you know, what one person says, what another, and you'll see the truths in here. You'll see it. And you don't have to be a very smart and wise man to see these things. You'll see it. So it's not that hard for anybody that just wants to know the truth. What is God really saying? I hear all these things about God, about this and God, because I heard one, if anybody can comment on this at the end, but one guy, he told me, and I could see the sadness in his countenance, where he was like, you know, I believe in God, you know, or he said, I believe God, I pray to him, you know, I pray to him, and he's like, I don't hear nothing, I never get nothing back, you know, I never. He says he always does. He always, you know. And I can only say that, you know, prayer, it's when you're not going to hear, God's not going to talk physically back to you, you know. He says, and I was like, if you get into his word, and that it's the peace that passeth all understanding. When you're praying, you're going to get that peace that he's there with you. I thought I was going to go to verse 8, honestly, but I'm still in verse 1 in Thessalonians. That was the first time I did that. But if anybody want to make a comment on that, please do. But I felt so bad about him and about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, God, he uses words. He communicates us through his written word.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an understanding of what he's doing. The word of God that works effectually in them that believe, our hope is what sustains us, being a part of what God is doing.
Yeah.
They gotta, you know, you gotta believe it, you gotta read it,
mm-hmm.
you gotta learn it.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth and knowledge of his word. All truth and knowledge. It doesn't say it leads us into some of the truth, he leads us into all truth of the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have the Holy Spirit, which
yeah.
It's a complete different story. You gotta believe it.
Yeah. That's good, because the guy, I pray for him. I work with him. So, okay. I just seen it in him. He was like, I told him, you know, I try to plant the seed. So I told him, anytime you're ready to talk more or learn more, I'm open. Just let me know. So we work together, and hopefully that happens, you know. So, and we're supposed to walk in newness of life. That's in newness of life, and I got a whole bunch of verses that we definitely did not get into. But I also wanted to add the Ten Commandments. So we know that we're not under the law, we're under grace, we've seen that. But the Ten Commandments, now, obviously we don't want to be killing nobody, stealing from people, you know, there's the Nine Commandments. Paul mentions nine of them, and he mentions all of them, but I think he mentions the one with the Sabbath. That Sabbath, we don't have to, that was a specific thing to Israel. Yeah, that was something that was to Israel specifically. And that Sabbath, and you see in Colossians chapter 2 that we there's no respect of holy days. So there's no, so that was something specific to Israel, and that's why you don't have to follow the Sabbath and say, oh, the Sabbath is this and that, and put people down because they're not, I don't know, doing what you think they should do on the Sabbath. And we know that the Sabbath changed from Saturday to Sunday, from the last day to the first day of the week, you know, because of Christ when he rose the first day of the week. But that's a whole different thing. But I did want to touch on that. And let's see. Let's just go back to 1 Thessalonians. I think I got like 3 minutes left. All right. First Thessalonians and chapter 4 and verse 2.
Which chapter?
Chapter 4 and verse 2. Yeah, so, and this is just a continuing on what we just went through. For ye know, so we'll just start from verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God. So all these things mentioned that we mentioned today was pleasing God. So ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. So that's why I got into the commandments that we seen that the Paul is, his commandments are of the Lord. I know I got something here, and I went through that. Maybe we can go into verse 3, and that'll be it. Yeah. So, and then let's go to verse 3. For this is.
Verse 7.
Chapter 4, verse 3. Yeah, this is the main text that we were in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. So, we know that, like, the Corinthians were in fornication, and that's, we know that sanctification is, there's positional, and then there's our walk, and we're positionally sanctified, sealed with the Holy Spirit by the Lord. And then, but this one is that you should abstain from fornication. So that is the will of God, even your sanctification. So I'm guessing, I'm pretty sure it's talking about the walk of our sanctification there. And that you should abstain from fornication. Now we know the Corinthians were into all them things, and but that sanctification basically, it means set apart, to set apart people, and that we, it also means like holy. Holiness and sanctification has similar, you know, similar things. And it's not just pastors or deacons that should be doing these things. It's all of us. Every believer should be, we want to be set apart, sanctified positionally and in our walk. Well, we will be if we're saved positionally, but in our walk, constantly be, you know, we're examples. We want to be examples for the Lord, because anybody sees us and they're like, oh, this guy drinks and smokes and he parties and he's going to doing these things he ought to, shouldn't be doing, you know, he's sinning, he's having sexual relations with many women, he's doing all these things. That's a bad example to people, for other Christians, it's a stumbling block to each other. And so it would be good to try and do our best. But we can go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. So that's the next page over. And in verse 23, and this will be our last text. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's another reference of the rapture, but that whole, the spirit, the soul, and the body. So we wanted to be And I pray we want to be blameless. So that verse shows you there that we have a spirit, we have a body, and we have a soul. That we're three in match of in God's image. So we have three is like a number. I don't know the whole thing about it, but I know that we have the spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body that makes up humans, man and female. So that's even the body. We want to sanctify the body. And we have, I didn't get to none of them verses, but anybody have any comments? Or
when someone says we make too much of Paul, you would have to say the Jews made too much of Moses.
Yeah.
God uses Paul for us just like he used Moses.
Yeah.
Magnify his office.
Yeah. There was something with that magnifying my office, but I forgot what. There's so much, That's why some commentators just, you read them and they can bring out so much out of it. Because God's Word, there's so much in it, it's infinite. You can just keep bringing, things out of it, and that's the beauty of it.
It's a mystery.
Huh?
The mystery.
Yeah, the revelation of the mystery that, that this grace was kept secret. It was a mystery, and that it was revealed only to and through Paul, which is nobody knew about it, and Paul was the first, and that now that's why it's a whole. We see the uncircumcision and circumcision. Back then, man, you didn't follow them laws. You weren't part of the circumcision. You were nothing. Yeah, they, you, what was it? You picked up sticks and you'll die on the Sabbath. That was law. So all of a sudden this guy Paul comes and he's telling you a blueprint about all these differences, but he's supposed to be credited out. That don't fly. You know what I mean? That don't fly for nothing. You're going to have a guy come and all this blueprint of all these things that pertain to today, you can even feel that it pertains to today. Even our gospel, even us being saved in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. That's, we believe, it's all there. It's just the devil, what are the three enemies of the world? The devil, the flesh, and the world. So all three work against God. And and they're all, and it's just blinding people from knowing what the real truth is. And the truth is that Romans through Philemon is our marching orders for today. Amen. Yep. Anything else?
What's your friend's name?
Chris.
And how's Dennis doing?
He's doing okay. He's still there. We still do the word. We still do the word of the day every day.
He's still excited.
Yeah, he still comes and he's like, "What is the word of the day?" And we just, yeah. So he's pretty cool, Dennis. But we work together still. Yep. And I didn't call him. It was cold. And I didn't think he was gonna wanna. I should have. But yeah, Chris is his name. Yep. Anything else?
When you said about you don't have to be a genius to understand what's in the Word. The verse in early, I don't know exactly what chapter, but early 1 Corinthians, not many are wise, not many noble, not many strong are called.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, because I guess we're some people who are not like that are a little more humble or open-minded, I don't know. But I just know that we're supposed to be ready-minded. And if somebody was truly, wanted to know, hey, let me find out if this Paul guy is for real. And you'll find out, and you'll see the differences. And that's why we have the books out in the back that you can learn these things and share them with others and give them, hand them out, there was one thing I thought was cool. Ray Seiler, he has in his house, it's a whole bunch of, the whole thing of books, just ready for people that come in his house or whatever, and he's just ready to give them out. So that's, that's good. Because how are they going to know unless we say something or share or give? And there's a guy, another guy at my job that I gave him some books. He's giving them to his dad in prison, and he's reading it. And there's another guy at my job that he's reading it himself. So that's, it's, you know, you never know what might happen. You never know. You know, they'll you get it all the time. They're roasting God. Everybody, you know, everybody makes it, you know, it's all jokes or, and a lot, some people get offended, which it is offensive, but how could you be, it's the world we live in, you know, people are going to make fun of God and do things and joke around, but if you are strong and you're, you know, in the Lord and you've that tolerance, and it's like, okay, you know, and you can just move forward. Because I could be like acting like at work, and I maybe try to act like I'm holier than everybody, and that ain't going to get nobody to want to. You know what I mean? Like, dude, you're sinning, man. You know, like you're sinning. You know, like you're just sinning. That ain't going to get nobody. But like, we're under the economy of grace, unmerited favor that we're supposed to love even our enemies. So, go ahead.
I think the hardest part of, you know, witnessing is telling people that we're all sinners. Because they would always tell you, oh, I am a good person. I didn't kill anybody. Mm-hmm. So, unless you can convince somebody that we're all sinners, then they're not going to be reciprocal.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good point.
I think that's the first part.
Yeah.
To convince people that we need a Savior.
Yeah. No, I understand that, you know. But I mean, like, in a point where, you know, someone will make a joke about, I don't know, Jesus or God, and it's in a, you know, like, you live, work with these people, and they're not these people, but I mean, you work with people that just don't know the truth, you know? They just don't know what you know. So if I were to just come out and be like, hey, you guys are messed up, man. Or I could just, you know, I could just take them to the, I just take them and be like, look, let me show you what it really is, you know? And yeah, I guess, I don't know. All right, I'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for us making it to church today safely, sound. Those that are not here, we pray for them. We love them. We want the best in the hope that they're not sick, or anybody that is sick and in pain. We pray that you're there for them and they're able to witness, and that they feel better. And we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth, and it's the truth is, will set you free, and we feel free, and give us the will and the courage and the audacity to share your word with others, even if we look foolish, because you confound the foolish things of this world, and you are our Savior and God, and we love you, Lord, and we give you all honor and glory and praise in Jesus' name, amen.